into the mind of a maniac. Doomed to be a killer since I came out the nutsack. I'm in a murderous mind state with a heart full of terror. I see the devil in the mirror. Buck, buck, lights out. Cause when I grab my sword off, niggas get hauled off. Barrel one, tears your motherfucking flesh. Barrel two, tears your fucking heart out your chest. You see, I'm quick to let the hammer go click on my tech nine. So if you try to wreck mine, fool at your bedtime. Feel the blast from the chocolate bomber. Infrared, and let your head like your name was Sarah Connor. Decapitation, I ain't hesitating to put you in a funeral home with a bullet.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to the Sambo Slim Podcast. Of course, I'm Sambo. And I have Mel with me in studio.
Hey, guys.
This is a very special episode that we're bringing to you for the month of October with Halloween coming up. It's the type of guest I've been wanting to bring on since last year in September leading into October. I wanted to bring on a ghost hunter. Well, finally, I actually got one. I have John Delgado from the San Antonio Ghost Hunters. So you're going to hear about a 45-minute interview with him. Lots of good stuff in there. Lots of really creepy stories. All the locations, well, almost all the locations he talks about are right here in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to be from San Antonio to enjoy it, of course. We have people from all over the world that listen. Yep. Either way, it's creepy and it's got a lot of good stuff. Yeah, scientific stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, the way they approach the ghost hunting. So.
And hopefully soon we'll be on a ghost hunt with him.
Right. He did invite us to do a podcast live from one of his investigations, so we'll be doing that soon. You'll get to hear me scared as hell.
Peeing your pants.
Probably. I really don't even believe in ghosts, but
I know.
Hey, if something weird happens, it's obviously a ghost, I'm going to freak out. Mm-hmm. So just be on the lookout for that. Of course, we'll have John back because I want to play some EVPs on the podcast. So this interview is done by phone. I apologize if the quality's not up to par. My mistake. I hadn't done an interview in a long time by phone, and I didn't adjust my settings right. I tried to fix it as much as I can, but it's still not perfect. But the interview itself, you can still understand everything he says, and the content of the interview is spectacular. I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, it came out good.
And I really appreciate John for coming on. I can't thank him enough. I mean, the interview was awesome. And again, it's been over a year since I've been trying to get a ghost hunter on. We had a paranormal expert on, but not in a paranormal author, but not an actual ghost hunter. And I really wanted to get a ghost hunter on. So, John, if you're listening, thanks a lot.
And real quick, his Facebook, what is it?
They have a Facebook page, so you can like their page. I don't think you like the page. You send them a friend request.
Oh, okay.
It's San Antonio Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, but he posts some videos and stuff on there all the time.
He does. He constantly updates it. He's pretty active on there. So if you want to see some cool videos and pictures from his investigations and announcements on where his next investigation will be, go to his Facebook, San Antonio Ghost Hunters. And he does call me Dan a couple of times at the beginning of the interview. But that's all right. He doesn't know he didn't know my real name. He just knows me as Sambo Slim. And I probably told him my name's Sam, but I don't. Weird because I have a podcast, but I don't speak very clearly. So when I say Sam, so I completely understand. And I didn't want to ruin it because he's on a roll. So I didn't want to be one of those.
He could call you Shirley for all you care.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. Yeah, he could have called me anything and I'd have been fine with it because the information he's given us was so just unbelievably awesome.
Yeah.
So before we get into it, don't forget about my Amazon banner. Go to the samboslimpodcast.com. This is the next time you want to buy something from Amazon. We'll go to my site just to listen to my podcast. But next time you want to buy something from Amazon, don't forget to go to the samboslimpodcast.com. Scroll to the bottom. You'll see a little Amazon banner down there. Click on it. It takes you to Amazon's homepage. And buy whatever you were going to buy to begin with. Get it. They'll deliver it to you. It's the same thing as going directly to Amazon. You're just going through my site. And what happens is Amazon gives me a little kickback. They're not charging you more. You're paying the same as you would if you went straight to Amazon.com. But in order to thank me for bringing them business, Amazon pays me a commission whenever you use my site to go to theirs. So, without further ado, Here is the interview with San Antonio ghost hunter John Delgado. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Okay, everybody, thank you for listening once again. This is Sambo Slim. You're listening, of course, to the Sambo Slim podcast. We have a special episode for the month of October for you. If you remember last year, we did you guys got to send in scary stories, and we read those and told you some of our own paranormal-related experiences. So we got another surprise for you today. We have paranormal investigator from here in San Antonio, John Delgado, and he's going to answer some questions for us and let us know just what it's like to be a paranormal investigator. Also, I have the lovely Mel, once again, my co-host.
Hello.
And so, yeah, we'll go ahead and get started. And can you hear me all right, John?
Yes, yes, Dan. And it's a pleasure being on the show, and I appreciate you guys having me on tonight.
Thank you.
Our pleasure, and thank you for coming on. But, just give us some background. How and why did you... How'd you get into this field, and why? What made you want to do it, to become an investigator?
Okay, Dan, good question. I've actually started investigating about 10 years ago. Believe it or not, I moved into a mobile home, a trailer, and I had activity in it. We would hear persons walking. We would see objects flying. One time I was getting some stuff out of a drawer, up an overhead drawer, and I was placing them on the shelf. And I happened to turn, and the top to a butter was just sailing away from me. It was about 3 feet in the air, just cruising away from me. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. And another time, my son was little at the time. He's 11 now, but the little plastic protectors that go on the top of the baby bottles, my wife had them on a rack, and something knocked one of those baby bottle tops off. It was just spinning really, really fast, real fast. And back in those times, we used to have a light-up battery. I don't know if you guys remember on the cell phones back then. And my wife's phone was right there, and her battery just lit up so bright, so bright. It wound up burning out the battery. And from that point on, I made it my goal to try to document as much paranormal evidence as I could, and just kind of share the craziness that was going around me with other people. And like I said, it's been about 10 years, and that's when I started my group of San Antonio Ghost Hunters. And it's been a never-ending journey to try to document. I've got over 1,000 EVPs, or what they call ghost voices.
Mm-hmm.
I've got numerous full-bodied apparitions. And lately we've been using the Kinect system. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. It's using the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And it's used for mapping. And, man, those things really map the spirits really good. And so we've had a lot of success. But basically, then that's what pulled me into it. And I guess, in a way, kind of a ghost magnet started. I don't know, it's all of a sudden about 10 years ago. And now, wherever I go, ghosts are drawn to me and attracted to me. And I think that's why, as a group, we go out and we get some really good evidence where other groups have gone to the same location and not really gotten anything at all, just because of the fact that, we're like a beacon of light out there and the ghosts come to us.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I have a few questions before.
Go ahead.
Because I'm trying to picture the Kinect on the Xbox. And I know when we're in front of the Kinect, you see an image, right? Almost like a warm body image.
It's more like a stick figure, Melissa.
Oh, okay. So when you're on the Kinect, do you see something close to you? Or?
Yeah. We've had them, the ceiling fan, they're attached to the ceiling fan, and they come down and touch us. And the person standing there feels static electricity on his head as this stick figure is touching them. We've had them running, run through people. It's pretty amazing. But yeah, and for the most part, they're little guys. Usually when we map them, they're lower than the doorknob on a door.
Oh, wow.
So I'm guessing about 3 feet tall. 3 feet tall.
That's interesting.
And they have the ability to appear and disappear. And take off at very high rates of speed.
Hmm.
And, so what we do is on our laptops, we have like a video capture software. So as we're doing the Kinect, it actually captures it, perfect square. Before, we used to put our camcorder on a tripod and it wasn't the same effect, as far as the video quality.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's really amazing that it can be used for that. And it works. It really works.
Yeah,
I'll give an example. Two nights ago, we were in an investigation here in San Antonio on the north side. And the Kinect was, I guess it's like an L hallway. So I was, the hallway went up from me and made a left. and myself and another investigator were seeing these black shadows, short, once again, like about 3 feet tall, moving about very fast in the room, coming up to us and going back, coming up to us. And then my other fellow investigator, Glenn, who's on the other L side of the hallway there, was using the Kinect down the hallway. And while we were seeing the black shadows, he was mapping these stick figures moving about and running back and forth.
Hmm.
So it was really cool that we were able to, you know, connect or correlate us seeing the black shadows and him being able, Glenn, being able to map them on the Kinect.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's awesome. Well, I would actually like to see that one day.
Yeah.
Are you, so these short entities that you see, what do you think they are?
That's a good question. You know, nobody's really an expert. Some people have just, you know, had more years experience at it.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, we really don't know. But I know that they're definitely a spirit. Because these guys do not abound to the same laws of physics as we do. Mm.
Okay.
You know, these guys going through walls, in and out of walls, traveling at supersonic fast speeds. So I can say there's some type of entity, and they do have vocal capabilities. Because we've got other videos over the Kinect where they're actually speaking to us. What we do is we'll use the Kinect in conjunction with a spirit box.
Mm-hmm.
A spirit box is a specially designed radio that has been altered to just scan the entire band, whether it be AM or FM. I prefer AM. It just scans the entire band. So if you're able to actually hear a radio station, you maybe hear a word, or maybe not even a whole word, because it's scanning so fast. And it allows the spirit to speak to us through the box. And believe it or not, the story behind this, the main box, which is called a SB7 box, it was designed with influence from the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And because before in history, I mean, we've had this for many years, and nobody had ever come up with a way to allow spirits to speak to us in real time, just the way I'm talking to you right now.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, so I don't know what they did, how they did it. Our guy Chris Fleming, really nice guy Chris Fleming, I spent some time with him on the Queen Mary in Long Beach. He came out with that spirit box. I don't know if the spirits came to him in his dreams or how they did, but that thing really works. So we'll use the Kinect with the spirit box, and we'll ask questions of these spirits or stick figures that are standing in front of me, and they will answer us. Well, I remember one time I asked... are you a demon? And they said, yes.
Huh.
Okay.
And we asked, what do you want? And they said, death. Not sure it was for me or death for them, but it was probably pretty much for us if it was a demon, you know. So it's interesting, you know, that they're able to speak. So I don't know. Again, answer your question, is it a demon? Possibly.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's definitely a spirit. You know, it's not human. And, you know, that's why they call it the paranormal. We just don't know.
How do you deal with, like, for example, with me, I've never, you know, been on an investigation, and some things have happened in my life that I think could be a ghost, but maybe there's a logical explanation. But you've seen some crazy things that there's no denying. You know, you see something levitating or something's directly communicating with you. How do you deal with that? Like, how do you sleep comfortably at night knowing there's these, like knowing 100% that there are these some sort of entities around us that, you know, that kind of have a life of their own?
Well, you know, I've been doing this 10 years. As a matter of fact, this month of October marks my 10th year anniversary as an investigator.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, I feel like a haunting happens to any people living in a house. It starts off slowly and slowly and slowly. So as over time, I've kind of gotten used to it. You know,
mm-hmm.
Because I've been pushed, I've been scratched. The weirdest one is I got shocked.
Wow.
At an investigation. I reached to pick up an instrument, and I immediately felt a shocking sensation, and two of my fingers were numb for about 5 minutes from the shock. So, so that definitely, I believe that, you know, the belief is that ghosts are made of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, I definitely believe that because they've shocked me before, and they've also scratched us. And that's the other thing, you know, you talk about sleeping in my residence and everything. Maybe a lot of people don't know, but we have a lot of stuff that follows us home.
Okay.
You know, I've had films from the USS Lexington
mm-hmm.
follow me home. We've been to Lexington three times. We've been investigated. We're going again this February to investigate, to give us free reign of the whole ship. We go down to the bottom of the ship where you can tell people haven't been there in years. And that's an extremely haunted location. Then we did an investigation at a place called the Jackson Ranch here in San Antonio, which is an old stagecoach stop. Very many people know about it. I found it by accident, actually, on YouTube. And it's right off of the I-10 and right by Chacho's. I don't know, like Kinetic Concepts. The Castle Golf and Games. I don't remember the name of the street.
I-10 and
Callahan. Anyway, yeah, there you go. And there was, we went to that Jackson Ranch, a stagecoach stop, and actually the stagecoach stop is still there. All rickety and about falling down. There was an abundance of spirits there at the Jackson Ranch, and there was what was called a whipping tree where the slaves would be whipped. And we actually had two slaves follow me home, a man and a lady. And so, you know, I have to constantly be cleaning out my house, removing the spirits from my house, because they follow us home. They follow us home a lot of times.
Oh.
And that's something a lot of people don't know. I remember hearing from that TV show Adventures, Zach Bagan, the big muscular guy,
mm-hmm.
he talked about his house being haunted, and he couldn't keep a girlfriend for very long because the spirits would freak out any girlfriend that was hanging out there at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does happen. There is, you know, spirit attachment, spirit haunting, and. You know, sometimes they affect me here in the house. They'll give us bad dreams.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, bad dreams, you know. We have to just keep cleansing and cleansing. It's almost like a glutton for punishment. We know, and people will tell me, John, why do you do that? You have to follow you home, and, you know, why do you do that? But, you know, I really feel that this line of work is a calling for me for some reason. I don't know what. And, you know, I don't see any end to doing this type of work. You know, 10 plus years, I'll be happy to do another 10 or 20 more.
Nice.
You know.
What's that, the cleansing process for your home? What is that?
Well, basically what I use is I either use a dowsing rod or I use a pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask for the higher spirits or a higher power to help me remove all the spirits from my house and from my property. And I ask them to start the pendulum or start these dowsing rods and stop the circular motion that they're going in once the cleansing is complete. And depending on the strength of the spirit, some are removed quicker than others.
Okay.
Yeah,
we've seen, we watch Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures, and we've seen different cleansing processes. So just curious as to which one that you preferred for your own home. So again, we've seen these shows and they make it everything look cut and dry and simple. Kind of walk us through a little bit of what's the process. So you show up somewhere for a ghost hunt. What's all involved in that?
Well, definitely, you know, your equipment all prepared, your battery's charged, you know, fresh film or tape, or, you know, your SD card's cleaned out. And we try to, actually, we do a little prayer before we go in.
Mm-hmm.
I try to meditate a little bit. And I always stop right at the threshold, take a deep breath, try to clear my mind and walk in. And, you know, and we go in there with some skepticism. We don't just think, oh, yeah, you know, it's haunted and just assume it is.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, I've been able to kind of feel any energy that might be in a particular room. So I'll walk, you know, from room to room. And so some of my other team members that are kind of sensitive to that type of energy, and they'll be like, yeah, no, I can feel it. You can just feel the energy in one room other than in another room. And then we'll also go by the occupants' claims of where activities happen. That's where we decide to set up our cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And then plus what we feel where the energy is at. And then we set up the other cameras in there. And then we tend to start with the Connect and the Spirit Box.
Okay. So you're in a group called the San Antonio Ghost Hunters, in like
that is cool.
That's them. And what does your team consist of? Like, what are the different responsibilities?
We always assign a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us all carry handheld regular camcorders with us. You know, we don't have any type of production cameras or anything yet. just regular, you know, Walmart or Best Buy type camcorders.
Okay.
We also try, if that's possible, to try to look up the history of the location and see if we can, you know, find any deaths or anything that happened there. But a lot of times when we get called on, they're apartments.
Okay.
And just the large amount of people coming in, coming out, the different type of habits, the good or bad that the occupant may have. So it's just really hard to tell, you know, look up any history when it comes to an apartment like that.
I have a question about that. So when you have requests, that's, I'm sure, a short process, right? They want you to go in and do some investigating. But like what you mentioned earlier, like the Lexington, is that a long process you have to wait for? I mean, is that like months or weeks you have to wait for if you're requesting a certain location like that?
The Lexington, we actually go, our friends, they used to have the TV show Ghost Lab, the Kling Brothers. They're also out of San Antonio. They're friends of ours. And what they do is they rent out the Lexington for paranormal investigation. And so we go with them to investigate the Lexington. We tried investigating ourselves or tried to get permission to the Lexington, but we didn't have too much luck with that.
I see.
But generally, though, it's not a big wait time, you know. We've done investigations for the state of Texas also, and that was a little bit more. That one, we actually had to go through, like, background checks.
Uh-huh.
We had to submit our driver's licenses, and we had to sign waivers, you know. So I even can't tell you where we investigated because of that paperwork that we did with them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, but we did the city of San Antonio, too. We did one for them here in town right by the city hall, right back to the Spanish governor's palace.
Oh, okay, yeah, we know where that's at.
Yeah, it's a little white building. Man, that place is haunted bad.
We've heard about that, right?
That's one of the, not the worst experiences I've had, but it didn't go too good for me that night. And needless to say, we captured a large amount of evidence. The city was really pleased when we did the reveal to them. But we had to wind up cutting the investigation short because of the fact that I was just, I was being dumb, basically. Because through the ghost, the spirit was telling us, leave now. And I was like a smart butt. And I said, no, I'm not going to leave. You are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I said that. But, excuse me, immediately after I said that, I started feeling like throwing up.
Uh-oh.
And I couldn't catch my breath. I was being attacked, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't catch my breath. I just felt really, really bad. I felt dizzy. I kind of wanted to pass out. So I told them, time out, just go outside and take a breather. And we're out there joking for about 10 minutes. We came back inside. I start my session again, and those feelings come up again. They start. I start feeling real bad, real, real bad. Not just feeling good all day long.
Yeah.
So I challenge that spirit in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we did a turned on the spirit box, and I said, do you want us to leave? And the spirit said, yes, in a very ugly voice. So we're like, okay, we're out of here. That was luckily after about almost 2 hours of investigating, and we cut it short, and we got out of there that night.
Wow.
We had an experience there. We went on a ghost tour, and they took us, what is it, the governor's palace?
I think so.
Right. Uh-huh.
So we're standing outside that building, and they tell us that the legend is a Mexican woman was killed there. An old woman who was always peeking out the front window.
Mm.
So we all start snapping pictures into that window. And the guy next to me actually got an image of an old lady. Looks like she's sitting in a chair with her face
right in the window,
right at the window. Like she's looking out and there was no one in the building.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, one of my guys, Coy, he got a picture in the same window there, Spanish governor's mansion, the palace, of an older man's face. But he wasn't his face right at the window. He was a few feet back.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no older man inside the building. Like I say, it was empty. It was at night.
Mm-hmm.
It was also in one of these tours. And he captured that. Now, no, I'm a big believer of window ghosts. Windows ghosts is, I believe, when the spirit is maybe not so powerful and a little weaker, and they can only show themselves in windows.
Mm.
I got to investigate the Whaley House in San Diego, California.
Uh-huh.
And I got numerous window ghosts in the back windows of the Whaley House. So I definitely believe your story about the tour, you know, that you got to, because they do exist. When to go to there. So we'll, as a normal practice now, we'll go in and shoot windows of locations. And a lot of times you will get results with the window ghost.
Hmm.
Oh, that's neat. So what's the, in your opinion, out of all the places you've investigated, what would you say is the most haunted?
In San Antonio?
Yeah, well, yeah, in San Antonio.
In San Antonio, as far as locations that are not private residences.
Right.
Well, definitely the Spanish Governor's Palace, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, we get a lot of activity at the Mission.
At the different ones?
Mission Conception is fairly good for producing, evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But the best one is the one that's right outside Loop 410.
That's by Espada or San Juan?
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. It's right before the world goes into over the water there.
It's, yeah.
The reason that we go there, all the other missions, well, especially the one off of Roosevelt, the military, that one's locked up like a fort. You can't even get in at night.
Yeah, Jose.
Conception has a little small area, but it's they have very little land there. But the mission that I'm talking about, I don't know, the San Jose, it has a huge courtyard. There are some, what do you want to call them? I guess old remnants of houses. You know, they're little walls about 3 feet high, brick walls. And the courtyard over there is open 24 hours.
Right. We were just there a few nights ago.
Yeah.
There's no security. There's no hours or anything like that. So I take a lot of my new investigators and training out there to that particular mission. And we've recorded horses. Men yelling, volunteers mount up.
Oh, wow.
We've gotten ladies speaking. The best one that really kind of freaked me out or was really cool was we picked up flute music from, I guess, the Indians that would be there, with the church people.
Mm-hmm.
And we got set, I did an EVP session and we couldn't hear it at the time, but I ended up having about a 5-minute conversation with this very monster voice spirit asking them questions and stuff, and I even said, "Okay, we're going to go ahead and conclude our session." And the spirit said, "No, John. Like, if you want to talk more,
gosh.
Yeah." So I'd say the Spanish Governor's Palace, the missions are also haunted. There's also a bridge right as you're coming out of the Espada Park off the Southwest Military Drive.
Right.
There's a little town called Berg's Mill. And really the only remnants of the town is an old bridge from the early 20s. And I guess there was a lot of crashes and deaths on that bridge. And that bridge always is good for producing good EVPs.
Hmm.
And I think one of the best evidence, because, like I said, I've got over 1,000 EVPs, so voices is not, nothing really special for me.
Mm-hmm.
But we were doing a dowsing rod session, and we actually got sparks being emitted from the tips of the dowsing rod.
Oh, my gosh.
And, we captured that there. Like I said, I've been doing this 10 years, and I've only gotten that effect one time, and that was at that Berg's Mill Bridge.
Oh, cool.
In San Antonio.
That bridge is right down the street from us.
Yeah, we live pretty close to the Mission Espada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, that's haunted. And I believe right when you come into the Espada Park off of Military Drive, there are some spirits there also. A couple of them got killed there. About a few months ago, a guy ran off the road and drowned in his car in the river. And I believe he's still there. A guy recently got killed about 2 weeks ago. And I think he's still there. Me and my wife were eating breakfast out there, got some tacos on the run, and we went to go eat there, and the spirit came up to me and was saying, "Help me, help me."
Oh, wow.
And, so I just crossed him over real quick, and I think that spirit left. I think that was the last guy that just died there like 2 weeks ago.
I'm not too sure,
because there was even a lady speaking to us there. That's pretty weird. You finish eating breakfast, and you got to cross the spirit over.
Wow,
that's neat. So you can help people do that, or you can help the spirits cross crossover.
Crossover, yes. Yeah, I call it working with energy, but yeah, I can do it. It's kind of the same process of cleansing my house out and getting the spirits that have followed me out of my house.
Mm.
You know, I kind of do the same thing, and you have the spirits to cross over. And you can actually, when I cross them over, you can feel the air in the room lighter, and it's easier to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's said that spirits give off negative ions. I'm not too sure on that, but that's what they say. And I can tell that there is a difference in the air before and after a cleansing.
Okay.
That's neat.
Nice. And let's see. Have you ever encountered something that really freaked you out, and there's maybe a place you don't ever want to return to again?
Yes. And you're probably going to freak out when you hear the location.
Okay.
It's my grandmother's house.
Oh, okay.
In San Antonio?
In San Antonio, on the south side, off of Military Drive, yeah, near Kelly Air Force Base, the Lackland Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got sick, and I was in a coma, and so I wound up losing the trailer that I had. So my grandmother said, come stay with us. So me and my wife and my kids, we went to go stay with her, and needless to say, Grandma's house was very, very active. I had a lot of stuff happen to me in that house. One time I was at a computer desk typing, and I just felt something was looking at me. And I turned to my right, and there's this black orb just standing there looking at me. It's not even moving. It's standing there. And as I look at it, it goes through the wall at like 10,000 miles an hour. And then so I go back to typing. Then I look up in the doorway that I'm in, you know, to the living room, and there is a full-bodied apparition. It's a black shadow. I could tell how tall it was. You couldn't see its features. You couldn't tell what type of clothing it had on. It was just solid black. And he kind of leaned over and looked at me, pretty much dead in the eye. And I looked at him, pretty much dead in the eye, where the eyes would be at. And he just took off at that same 10,000 miles an hour that black orb was. So I believe that black orb and that shadow person was the same thing.
Okay.
Hmm.
You know.
That is so creepy. Yeah.
And that's the light one. That's even not for somebody that'd be freaked out and run out, you know. But that one freaked me out, but it wasn't the most that I had experienced.
Were you the only one who saw or experienced that in the house?
No. Let me see about the left, and I'll explain a little bit more.
Okay.
Another time I was sitting at the same computer desk, and I happened to look out the doorway to the living room, and I look up, and there's this lady standing in like a grandma house coat, you know what they call a bata in Spanish, like a house coat, and it's like aqua color, but she's see-through.
Mm-hmm.
As I move up to see her face, she has no face. Her face is brown, like a sand face. There's no face to her. There's no features.
Mm-hmm.
There's no eyes, nothing. It's just blank, like an oval, just brownish. And I look up at her hair. I don't know if you guys ever saw Beetlejuice. That one ghost that got this long white hair sticking up after you stuck your finger in the electric socket.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And the hairs are like standing up like that. Okay. She had that type of hair. And I was like, oh my God, what is it? And it's see-through. So as I'm looking at it, I'm looking through it, and I see my dog sitting on the sofa. If I focus on the dog instead of her, she's gone. It disappeared, which was really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Then my daughters, really two daughters were living there, and they said, Dad, we see an old man with old clothes on carrying a candle. I said, really? He said, yeah, we see him frequently. I told him, okay, well, just let me know, and everything, keep me updated. And then two mornings later, my older daughter asked me, says, Dad, I got something to tell you. I said, well, what is it? She goes, well, you remember that old man with the candle? I said, yeah. She goes, well, he came into my dreams last night. He goes, and he was saying some ugly stuff. I said, well, what did he say? He goes, well, I don't want to tell you, Dad. I said, what did he say? I said, well, he's telling me to kill you right now, that I don't need you all, and you are no good for me, and to kill you now. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So there was some demonic activity. I can clearly say it on that house. Some demonic activity with a lot of human spirits tossed in there at the same time. So, and then another night, my daughters were sleeping face down, and they wound up getting scratches, but it was something that had three nails scratched right to left, then left to right over the back of both their legs. And I have the pictures to prove it. So, needless to say, we got out of the house pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I asked my grandmother right before, because we were there, right before we left, she wound up going to a nursing home because she had Alzheimer's and, you know. And I asked Grandma, have you ever seen any spirits in here, anything bad? And she looked up at me and she told me, does it have red eyes? Oh, it was kind of freaking me out, like she had been experiencing some of this stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
But she never shared her experiences with her, with us, that's what I say. So I hate to say it, but if I really don't want to go back there. That place is really, really super active. Another piece of equipment that we use investigating is a game camera that these guys use, the farmers or the hunters use to see there's deer roaming the trail.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, these are infrared night vision cameras. So we set this camera up on top of a TV that I had, and I don't know, it actually captured the spirit, but I don't know if the spirit knew the camera was there or it was just sheer luck. But all I was able to capture of the spirit was a little bit, I believe it to be a female spirit, a little bit of a corner of the dress.
Mm-hmm.
That was type of a yellow type of dress. And the part that really, really freaked me out, that we were able to capture this long ponytail coming down from this apparition. And for some reason, she did a spin. So you just see this look like this horsehair ponytail spinning around, and then it goes out of frame. And then in the shadow of my room, the light coming out of my room, you can see it cast a shadow as it jumps on top of a plastic bin, you know, the ones you buy at Walmart, you got the top on them.
Mm-hmm.
She jumps on top of the plastic bin, and her shadow shows a body moving up, then a long tail also moves up, but that was her hair.
Hmm.
And that was really, really weird that, you know, we captured that there in the moved out and I still had the keys of the place, I would use that as a training ground for, new investigators. And the house was eventually sold, and another couple lived there. They've been there, heck, I guess about 2 years already.
No problem.
They say everything's fine. They don't have any problems. So I don't know, you know, what happened there. It was something, once again, tied to, like, us,
mm-hmm.
You know, that we caused the activity or we caused them to be there. And once we left, you know, they left. I'm not too sure.
Huh.
But that would be the place that I probably wouldn't want to go back to.
I see.
Yeah,
that's very... I could tell Mel was pretty creeped out during that story. I saw that sometimes on Facebook, you solicit for people to go out and join you on investigations. Is that open to anyone or just investigators, or how does that work?
Well, we do it every so often. We don't do it too often because lately we have been running into a lot of these shorter type of entities that I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
And we just feel that they're not good.
Okay.
You know, if we do a general investigation, we may take them to San Pedro Park, mm-hmm. which is a very haunted park. A lot of activity at San Pedro Park. So I guess that would be on the list for haunted places in San Antonio. It's an old park. It's like the second oldest park in the United States. And it's like 15-something from guys from Spain. They made it a park there. There's a lot of activity there. I've gotten shadow persons, numerous UDPs, lots of wards. So it's a lot. It's a very active
mm-hmm.
Location. And even the park police have gotten involved there because there's houses around this park. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, you see these little kids playing out there. So they'll call the police. And the police come and they'll look everywhere. There are no kids. This gets reported over and over and over there at San Pedro Park. So if it's something like that, I would take people out there. And mainly, we take the people that follow us on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Because I get a lot of requests. Just private message requests. Oh, I may get 15, you know, 20 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can I go? I really want to go. But see, those people are looking for a scare.
Yeah.
You know, for a thrill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm turning it into serious paranormal investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to bring them too often, you know.
And I saw also on Facebook you were planning a meet and greet. Did that already pass?
That has not yet. That's coming up. We're trying to finalize the location. I think one of our members offered her house, and she was going to make, finger foods and stuff like that for us. Mm-hmm. But she's out of town right now, so I'll know something pretty soon here. We just did Phantom Fest, though. That's at the Minger Hotel, at another haunted location. Mm-hmm. We actually had a booth out there, and we were playing our evidence. We talked to a lot of great people, and we actually set up the connector at the Phantom Fest, and we started mapping spirits, the little small guys, mm-hmm. there in the vendor area of the Minger Hotel.
Oh, wow. Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So if you go to our Facebook, search for us on Facebook, San Antonio Ghost Hunters, you can see the videos there from the Minger. Plus, just keep scrolling down, and we post maybe like every week because we're so busy. It seems like I've been doing an investigation a week for like over a year or something. We've just been really, really, really super busy.
Yeah, your feed has been pretty active, so that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Exactly. Also, we're I guess it's like everybody's investigator's dream is to get a TV show, you know. Yeah. I actually got to do one episode of my ghost story caught on camera. I've got some videos on YouTube under San Antonio Ghost Hunter. We got about 140 videos, more or less.
Oh, okay. So you have your own YouTube channel also?
Yes, we do. Okay. Uh-huh. Under San Antonio Ghost Hunters. And we had a production company contact us, and they wanted all the evidence from an investigation here on the south side of Pyron Street. Mm-hmm. The South Samoan and Pyron. So we sent them all the clips, and he emailed us back. He called me back and said, "You know, I just wanted to let you know that your clips were approved for an episode of My Ghost Story Caught on Camera.
Oh, cool!
Can you be in Hollywood in 2 weeks?"
Nice.
So, was that recent? So,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Was that recent?
No, that was 2 years ago.
Oh, I see.
That was 2 years ago. They flew us out there for free and picked us up at the airport.
Nice.
And put us up in a really nice DoubleTree Hilton hotel. And took us around the Range Rovers, and we got to film, and then we came back and filmed here off of Pyron Street. So that episode is, it's on my Facebook also, of a man that, Mr. Garza, that died actually at the HEB gas station, and his spirit went to 3 or 4 blocks back home, and he's still there. I got to speak to him. You can see the evidence on that episode. And recently here it was back in February of last year, we were contacted by another production company. And they actually came to San Antonio, and they accompanied us on an investigation, and they put together what's called a sizzle reel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you folks are familiar with that, but that's basically like a little teaser trailer that's shot to different networks,
okay.
in an attempt to get a pilot and then a show. And so we've been working on that project since February, and we've got our fingers and our toes crossed because tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in New York City, the producers have H2... A&E, WTV, there's one other network that our show is being pitched to tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, wish us luck, and hopefully we'll get it.
Cool, yeah.
Man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
I can't tell you too much about it because the studio would kill me, but it's just, I can say this, it's paranormal. Well, let's just say this, it's Texas paranormal.
Cool.
Something
cool.
Along those lines.
Yeah, right. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you.
Definitely.
Great. Appreciate that, guys.
Yeah, well, we won't take any more of your time. I mean, this has been great.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of good information, a lot of cool stories. Our listeners are really going to appreciate it, especially right now in October for Halloween.
Yep.
Yeah, we'd like to have you back anytime, John. And if we do the interview next time in person, if you have some EVPs you want to play, we can definitely run those too. Really scare people. So.
Yeah, we can do that. Or if you guys want to join us in an investigation from the location, you can. You're more than welcome to do that too.
Oh, you know what? We will do that. That's a great idea. Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
All right, John. Well, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Nice talking to you guys.
All right.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. When I saw that gas start giggling, 3 black crippling crazy senior citizens. I live by the swamp. I take my boys everywhere I go because I'm paranoid. I keep looking over my shoulder and peeping around corners. My mind is playing tricks on me. Day by day, it's more impossible to cope. I feel like I'm the one that's doing dope. Can't keep a steady hand because I'm nervous. Every Sunday morning, I'm in service, praying for forgiveness and trying to find an exit out the business. I know the Lord is looking at me,
but yet and still it's hard for me to feel happy. I often drift when I drive, having fatal thoughts of suicide. Bang and get it over with, and then I'm worry free, but that's bullshit. I got a little boy to look after, and if I die, then my child will be a bastard. I had a woman down with me, but to me it seemed like she was down to get me. She helped me out in this shit, but to me she was just another bitch. Now she's back with her mother. Now I'm realizing that I love her. Now I'm feeling lonely. My mind is playing tricks on me.
This year, Halloween fell on a weekend. Me and Ghetto Boys are trick-or-treating, robbing little kids for bags, till an old man got behind our ass. So we speeded up the pace, took a look back, and he was right before our face. He be in for a squabble, no doubt, so I swung and hit the nigga in his mouth. He was going down, we figured, but this wasn't no ordinary nigga. He stood about 6 or 7 feet. Now that's the nigga I be seeing in my sleep. So we triple teamed on him, dropping them motherfucking bees on him. The more I swung, the more blood flew. Then he disappeared, and my boys disappeared too. Then I felt just like a fiend. It wasn't even close to Halloween. It was dark as fuck on the streets. My hands were all bloody from punching on the concrete. Goddamn, homie, my mind is playing tricks on me.